This is CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com. My name is Deborah Mafodi, and welcome to another exciting episode of Hashtag. Is it Hashtag or what is it? We're hashtagging these days, so we're hashtagging just...
hashtag everything.
Yeah, we're just hashtagging everything. The name of the show, it's Hashtag360Biz. Like I've said, my name is Deborah Mafodi. I'm actually excited, very, very excited. It's a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. The weather at least is giving us some sun, eh? It's giving us... This is the December weather, but guys, you know that.
Definitely
December. And having have flown down from Cape Town this morning, I must say, the weather that side, it's not as homely as Joburg is. But more than anything, I'm actually excited. I've got people in studio that are actually dressed for summer. Yeah, you know, they say people have got faces for radio. These people have got faces for radio.
Listen to this man.
So I must say, but anyway, these are the guys that we have in studio. You'll get to know them and what are they on about. More than anything, financial management is at the core of every business. It could be argued that businesses rise and fall on how they manage their finances. Today, I'm excited to discuss the importance of financial management for business and entrepreneurs. You can join in on the discussion via social media networks. Or even our telephone line, our studio line. It's 0861-555-189, 0861-555-189. We're on Twitter as well. Our Twitter handle is @CliffCentral.com. We're on Facebook as well. Our Facebook page, it's Cliff Central. We're on WeChat as well. Our WeChat ID, it's Cliff Central. And my social media following as well, it's @DeborahHomer40. Twitter @DeborahHomer40. Instagram @DeborahHomer40. Facebook, it's DeborahHomer40. Everything. I'm actually excited to be discussing the issue of finance, because some of us that have been running businesses for a couple of years, that has become one of my downfall as well, not knowing the difference of separating between my money and the company money. So these are the things that we're discussing today. Welcome to our guests today. I've got Precious Mvulani, the Managing Director of GED Consulting. She's an extensive experience in the financial field and is passionate about helping businesses reach their financial goal. These are the people with actually CASA behind the name. She is a chartered accountant. And later on the show, we're going to be joined in by Judith Van Dom from Netherlands. We're crossing borders, and she is a social finance expert at the International Labour Organizations and Pretoria office. She's also advises employers, workers and government in Southern and Eastern Africa on financial inclusion on members and constituents. We as well in studio having Sibulelo Sibaka. Is it Sibaka or is it Sibaka?
Sibulelo Sibaka.
Okay, who's going to be joining us on the show? A young entrepreneur who has an inspirational story. She will also be one of the speakers at the 3-day finance success seminar taking place this week. And more than anything, like I've said last week, we said on the show that we as well going to be having a new feature with my one and only boy, Bulelani.
Yes, sir.
Are you good, my brother?
I'm good, man. I'm all right. Mr. Get Things Done.
Yeah.
Mr. One and Only. Don't you guys just think that the whole smile is just the most infectious? No homo. Nah, man, I'm happy to be part of the team, part of the furniture. And I hope I'm going to be adding value. So, yeah, Bulelani, yeah?
Yeah, no, definitely. No, thanks for joining, my brother. And we're looking forward, definitely, to be having you as part of the show.
Definitely, sir.
Yes, definitely. So then how do you feel sitting in the middle being sandwiched by two beautiful ladies?
Man, you know, this is this is the best place I've ever been this year. I wish I could take the studio home with me. Is this fame? Is this what fame does to us? 360 biz.
No, we're actually here for business.
Exactly, nothing else. Yeah. Not taking off things to home, you know.
I hear you guys.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, let's start.
The day I forgot my wedding ring, you know.
Oh! Conveniently.
Okay. No, Precious, do you want to probably say hi to our listeners and tell us who you are and what is it that you do?
Hello, everyone. My name is Precious Mvulane. I'm an auditor and a chartered accountant by profession. I help business owners manage their financial performance, including managing the financial risk and compliance risk.
Oh, okay. That was Precious Mvulane. Sibulele? Do you want to tell us who you are? Do you want to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is it that you do?
My name is Sibulele Sibata. I am...
Sibulele, come close to the mic. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Yeah. Okay.
I'm a young entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I've been running a business with my business partner now for about 4 years or so.
Okay.
I'm doing fairly well. Of course, I wish I could have met Precious 4 years ago because I wouldn't have fallen into half the problems and challenges I've fallen into in our business.
Mm.
And I think what she has to offer is so valuable to so many businesses because they enable us to kind of understand what pitfalls we can avoid and be the best at what we do.
Is it? Okay. No, that's Sibulele. Then, Bulele, my brother, people don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, man, wow. I'm an entrepreneur of 9.5 years. I run a branding agency in Tembisa.
Mm-hmm.
We're very proud about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to, and I always remind the mayor of Ekurhuleni that I'm the unofficial mayor of Ekurhuleni, of all townships across South Africa. Now, man, I'm someone who's very passionate about the development of entrepreneurs, especially in the township, because I'm a township entrepreneur deliberately as well. I'm a speaker. I love inspiring people, man. I love being on 360 Biz. Look at these ladies. Hey. I had a script and everything when before I came in here, but I forgot everything. The smiles. Nah, man, but I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a guy who's really, really committed to the development and inspiration of people.
Mm.
And I love speaking as well. So if I'm able to fuse that with the development of people, then I feel like I've done my job. But I mean, my tag that people know me by is Mr. Get Things Done, because that's my theme talk. Wherever I go and I speak about getting things done, whether it's a, not a financial talk, but whether it's a branding talk or whether we're talking about strategy or sales or marketing.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, we can talk about all these great things that we're going to do. But if it doesn't get down to you actually doing it, then it's all useless. Then it was all sounds and whistles.
Mm. Yeah, no. Definitely, I'm looking forward to having you on the show. So then, can you please leave us, give us some privacy with the ladies?
You know, thank you.
That was wonderful.
Yeah, no, it was. No. Bulanan is on a level of his own, eh? I love the energy that he has. So, Precious, tell me, I mean, you've been quoted saying every decision a business makes is a financial decision. Please elaborate more on that statement.
You know, a business is an organization, and the decisions that we make in that business result in finance because the activities are measured in finance. So whether you're doing operations or marketing or you're doing something else relating to your business, it does relate to finance. Some of it may actually have a indirect impact at some point because maybe it's a strategic partnership, but at some point it needs to have a value unless there's no point of doing it.
Absolutely.
It has no value unless
there's no point for you to continue that relationship if it doesn't bring any value to your business.
Yeah,
that is why every decision that you are making, it doesn't matter whether it's operations, it doesn't matter whether it's marketing or it's in sales.
Mm.
If it doesn't build a value to your business, then there is no point to be making that, to be actually be engaged even on that activity.
Okay. So now a lot of entrepreneurs and SMEs tend to have great ideas, but some sometimes struggle with the financial aspect. I mean, how can they access information that will enable them to actually manage their finances? Because it's one of the things that we struggle with. I mean, the beautiful lady made mention that she wishes she would have met you years back. I mean, I wish I would have met you years back when I couldn't know the difference between my money and the business money. Whatever money that came into my business was my money.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think. It goes beyond than just financial literacy. It has to start from business management skills of understanding that for me to run a profitable business, I need at least three basic ingredients. One, a product and services that I have a skill on to be able to produce at a specific quality. And the second thing that you need, the ability to sell and market that product or that service to whoever who's your customer. And the third one, having a management skill that is going to bring all of that. And that is where finance comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You are able to analyze the finances and be able to say, actually,
this is how, these are the red flags on how I'm performing. And that's what financial literacy provides. It provides you with a picture, a true picture of how you're performing in your business. And I always say, business owners, if you don't understand that finance will give you the true picture of how you're performing and you're afraid of finance, you shouldn't even be running that business. Maybe your role should be focusing on just starting business and get someone else to manage the business for you.
Yeah. No, you know, these are the things that we don't want to hear as entrepreneurs.
We want to be a jack of all trades.
So now tell me, I mean, one of the challenges many entrepreneurs and SMEs face is having to deal with SARS and being able to comply. I mean, what advice can you give to people starting out in business in terms of how to be able to manage the administration while still having time to look for business?
My first suggestion, not all businesses need to be registered. I know I've been quoted on this one, and I've got quite fighting with politicians because they keep on going to our townships and our areas where we operate and saying, please register your business. Whereas not all businesses should be registered. That's the first part. But the second thing is to realize that until there's a transaction in your business, until you've done a transaction for a client or with a client, There is no business. You can't tell me you're in business because you have a business card and you actually have registered your business. There must have been an activity.
Yeah, there must have been an activity.
Yes.
Okay. So now, Sabulelo, tell me, as a young entrepreneur yourself, I mean, what lessons have you learned in terms of how to manage your finances?
Somebody should have told me. And I mean, she's laughing because it's so true. Nobody told me that I could run my business for a long time. I'm talking years without getting paid. I mean, nobody told me this because I had a great idea. I had somebody who said, I'm going to put my money on you.
Okay.
Which was really great because I know a lot of entrepreneurs, first of all,
struggle.
Where
did you
with
find
that,
that person?
Okay, we need to know that person.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Sure, guys. I can't share that information, you know. But the point is that this person and nobody else, I had no pressures in my life to tell me that, Sibu, great idea, great concept. You're going to break even, just not now. And the now actually might be a year or 2 years from now. And when it does come through, you're just breaking even, which means you're still not able to take any money from the company. And I'm so grateful that I ended up doing what I love because I would have quit a long time ago because I'm not trying to do anything for anybody's health but my own, you know. So it was just a really stressful time. And that's one of the things that I'd say to any young person who's trying to start a business. Do what you love because that is what's going to sustain you when nothing else does.
Okay. So, but now what support or mentorship have you received that has helped you with financing or to handling your finance on your business?
Well, I think first of all, if you're a young entrepreneur or you're a new entrepreneur, it's important to get a mentor because that's the person who might not necessarily give you money or give you access to funding or money, but certainly the advice, the support, the words of wisdom, the encouragement that you get when you're trying to quit, when somebody hasn't paid your invoice, when they said they're going to pay it 7 days ago and they haven't paid it, and you've got your car to pay, your house to pay, your kids to take to school, man, you're trying to eat, and nobody has, your mentor's going to go, let me take you out for breakfast. You know
Precious
what I mean?
Is just laughing the all the way.
You know, the struggle is real, and it's so great to hand over a business card and think you're in business. It's so much more than that to run a business. And I think that that's one of the lessons that I have learned over the past couple of years, that to own a business card is not even the business. You know, there's so much more to it.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, you spoke of being a new player or being someone new. I mean, there's someone that just walked in studio that I want to hijack.
It's just as beautiful, by the way.
Oh, yes.
My word, the beauty is overloading happening here today.
So we might as well just hijack the person, right?
Do you know what I mean? Yes. Yeah.
I mean, we've got a celebrity in studio. Some of us are not celebrities, you know. No, but guys, we've got celebrity here. Yeah. So somebody, I mean, and the reason I'm bringing her in, this, you spoke of being a new player. And there's something Precious said that says the government goes to the community and says you need to be a registered business. And you spoke of the different types of businesses. I mean, I think personally you're a sole proprietor or you're an artist. Gosh. What are you? Do you want to tell us, probably start by saying hi to our listeners, tell us who you are and what is it that you do?
My name is Habida. I'm a singer and actress.
You are a singer.
Wow. And an advocate for women.
Oh, wow. Yay.
Yeah.
But not you know, in the international way of doing things. Yay, women, no men, no. Mm-hmm. I love men. So it's just, how do we function, you know, as women alongside you without offending you, because at the moment you kind of run the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we run
it. This is a woman, Mufete. This is a woman, a person that acknowledges a man.
Oh, yeah. I'm married. I love my husband. He's the man at home, but I need us to be acknowledged as well, that we are the people that run it behind the scene.
Mm.
But now we need to come forward.
Okay. So now, I mean, Sis Precious was speaking about being a new player.
Yeah.
So obviously you said you are a singer.
Mm-hmm.
So your voice makes you money.
Yes.
So you're making money with your talent.
Yes.
So, I mean, what has financial challenges that you've experienced as an artist?
I think as an African artist, the financial challenge we have is we haven't been given the value that most artists deserve.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always like, yo man, just can you just do it for this much? Mm-hmm. But it costs us this much, you know, mm-hmm. to get ourselves prepared and give the show that the audience will appreciate.
Okay.
So that's the financial.
Yes. But trust me, it's not only you. They do that to accountants too.
They do that to speakers too.
Are you a speaker?
Oh, yeah. Oh, fantastic. What? They'll tell you, no, Mansabino, I only have 10,000.
Oh,
and you're like, no, but my voice. Every time I give you my voice, I want an invoice.
And my knowledge.
A proper one.
So now, I mean, I'm sitting with an accountant in studio. I'm sitting with a speaker and a businesswoman. Then I'm sitting with an artist. We've not checked how authentic she is of an artist.
Shall we test it?
Yeah, no, let's
I think we should test it.
Yeah,
what
let's
are we
test
doing?
It.
You're gonna make me sing.
Yeah, what you gonna do?
Okay, did you make her speak?
I've been speaking.
No. Speak to get paid.
Okay, no. Okay, it's fine.
Her accounting thing?
Wait, let's do
Why
this.
Why do they do no, this to singers
no,
all the
no,
time?
No, let's do this. I'm gonna, you know, in a company, I'm afraid I'm gonna want to speak to you about that, Sis Precious.
Yes.
In retrenchment, last one in,
first one out. Absolutely.
But I'm early for my next show. Hello. I'm a whole show early. Yeah.
So now, okay. I mean, you're on Cliff Central.
Yes,
the name
sir.
Of the show, it's 360.
Thank you.
360 Biz. Hello. And you're chilling with Debo Homa 40. So give us a render.
A what?
A taste, you know.
Yes.
Like a teaser.
Yeah, something like a teaser. That will say that you're on Cliff Central. You're sitting on 360 Bass with Debo Homa 40.
Okay, now wait. Now, what do you want me to do? You want me to sing or you want me to say that?
No. Make up a song. Sing that.
Oh God!
I mean,
why didn't you tell me you were going to do this to me?
No. But any musician should be in a position to be creative,
no,
right?
That's true. But you know, there's like you know when.
No, I don't know.
Okay, so anytime I'm asked to do that particular thing, it takes me ages. Hi, my name is Habib. Even just saying it. Hi, my name is. I'm on Cliff Central with what now? What? That apparently for artists is like a brain teaser.
Okay,
let me just sing my song.
Okay.
Oh, were you going to use that afterwards?
No, it's fine. You can sing your song. Give us a taste.
You're my reason. I don't know no treason. Me, me, no, eh,
eh. Wow.
You're my reason. I don't know no treason. I'm on Cliff Central, baby.
I know.
Okay, I want to have your CD.
I worked it in. Yeah, no, you worked it in. No, we must have C and have you on untapped talent, eh? So, no, it's fine. So then now, Sibo.
Yes.
It's your turn, ma'am. Excuse me.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Just like that?
Just like that.
Now.
So what I want you to do, we're speaking finance today. So you need to be speaking about finance, motivating someone. And add finance there, and add the fact that they must listen to Cliff Central and on 360, because that's where we're at.
It's a boy.
I know how she just felt 2 seconds ago.
Okay, makeup one.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I'm going to give you the ABC of what financial management means to me.
Mm.
A is attitude. You know, we know your attitude determines your altitude.
Mm-hmm.
What you do when you wake up in the morning, what you think about yourself, your life, and your finances determines where you go in that day. So that for me would mean A. B, be brilliant at whatever it is that you do.
Mm.
Open your books. Open your phone. Open your bag. Think about how much money are you spending on a daily basis. Think about how much money are you investing back into your business and back into your life. If you're a black entrepreneur, you know for a fact that you're only not dealing with your own future, but the future of those that are around you is called black tax.
Mm.
Now, competence. Let's be competent at every single thing that we do. Now, being black usually means, and being a woman means that you need to work twice as hard as the rest of the people.
Mm.
Now, let's be competent in the things that we do. Let's be competent in the things that we say. And don't just throw things for the sake of saying it. Say it with precision. Say it with meaning. And say it with competence. The ABC of finances and our lives.
You needed to add there Cliff Central.
And the C? Cliff Central, baby.
360 business. That was wonderful.
Okay, so Sis Precious here, we're coming to you. What you specializing in being accountant and finance. So right now, one of the most businesses, I mean, research has shown that businesses struggle with record keeping. So it's one of the things, the critical things. So, but now, I mean, other people would say they cannot afford your pastel, they cannot afford your QuickBooks, they can't afford your...
Yes.
So I know that it's something that you specialize in. Like, obviously, you said you want people to have financial success. So what other options can people, you know, take advantage of?
So many options. First of all, they can buy my book, The Essential Finance Handbook for Business Owners. At the end of step 3... I had listed down all the legislations that you need to be complying with the number of years that you should be keeping the documents for. So I specify the documents plus the number of years so that you know what records you need to keep.
How many years?
Average is about 7. Companies Act is 7 years. By the way, within Companies Act, there is documents that you have to keep them indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot ever destroy them. So... yes, you're right. It's about keeping the documents, but you have to know what documents I need to keep for how long.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, GAD has developed an app which a business owner can take a picture of their documents and put it up on the app, and we put it on Dropbox and we save it. Ooh. So it's not so much about how and where. The how and where is already there. It's about the business owner taking a decision. I want to run my business. I want my business to last.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure that our businesses as black people are not something that it was running because Ubaba Usman Ban was actually working in that business. We want to build businesses that last so that should anything happen to you as a business owner, your family members can drop in, your employees can actually know what is happening.
So it's not the African business that once the owner has died and you hear us in the townships, Imlandele, the business has followed him in the grave.
Whereas it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with how that person was competent in running a business, but that person did not pull up the systems and processes to make sure that that business exists without them.
Mm. So let's talk something interesting, VAT. I mean, we find a lot of business. I know I'm one of those businesses that I enjoy charging VAT. It's nice charging it. It's nice chowing it. But now when you need to pay it, it's a different case. So, because I think I know this one, this aspect, it's actually an aspect that I think I want to bring you in for another show where we actually have SARS in-house, where we actually talk about the complications around these things. So, and I know right now with government, you won't get a project if you're not VAT registered. And from what I know, that being a VAT registered, you need to have 50,000 monthly voluntary VAT registration that you can actually apply for VAT, and you need to be running on a turnover of at least $1 million a year.
Yes.
But you find government is taking a business that has not even made 50,000 and they want them to be registering for VAT. So then it becomes a problem for them to actually be accounting for that VAT.
By the way, those individuals should be reported
there is a system of reporting, because that is not a correct practice. That's not a best practice.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't be forcing business owner to register for VAT, especially government institution, because even themselves are not VAT vendors.
Mm-hmm.
I understand if a supplier is asking me to be a VAT vendor, but I would not understand why will the government institution force people to register for VAT. I need those government institutions, because I stand for business owners not putting themselves on compliance that they are not ready for.
Mm.
It comes with the responsibility.
Mm.
It comes with accountability.
Which I may not be ready for.
Absolutely, you may not be ready for. Remember, for VAT, you need to put systems and processes for you to... Because even having an invoice, a tax invoice, there is about 7 to 10 requirements on how the tax invoice needs to be done.
Sure.
Including how long you should be keep. So if you are not ready, you don't understand those things, why should you be rushing to be registered and you have not actually made a million that is supposed to be obligation for you to do?
But Angela, it's a pressure that they're getting, or to say they want to get this tender or this quotation.
You see, for
me,
that's an exclusion. Mm. That is an exclusion. They are intentionally excluding those business owners to actually do business.
Mm.
And it's systematic, because it's done by the government. And it's even incorrect, because it's a non-compliance with the laws of that itself. It's just not right.
So now you said you must report them.
You
so
must report them to the DTI. DTI is responsible for trade, is responsible for practices.
Mm-hmm.
And within DTI, I mean, we even now have a department, a small business developer, but before you could report them to DTI, that is unfair practice.
Is it? So now is there an ombudsman of some kind?
You should be thinking there is a tax ombudsman that exists within SARS. You can also
or the new order. One that I've heard already, he's been winning cases against SARS. Hey, I think that ombudsman needs to be my friend. We must bring him in studio, actually. Hey?
You know the reason why business owners have been failing with SARS?
Mm-mm.
They do not know what is their rights. You know, when you don't know what is your right, you also will not be able to exercise it.
Wow. So now tell me, I mean, one thing I love, Sis Precious, is that You I know you've been very vocal. I've been seeing you on newspapers, I've been seeing you on magazines, you know, radio interviews, TV interviews. It's an honor to have you here today, by the way. You know, and you're very active in the space of finance and wanting to help entrepreneurs grow in the space of finance. So hence, I mean, with that, you've decided to even host the Finance Success Program. Is it a program? Is it a summit? But why did you decide to do this?
Okay, so about a year ago, remember, I had released a book, the Finance Handbook.
But
when I was writing up the book, I had to take out a lot of examples, a lot of case studies, which would have actually illustrated some of these principles that I'm laying on the book, so that I felt I needed to create a program that allows me to be able to add the examples, the case studies, and take them through step by step, because it's not all principle here that you can just read and really understand as much as I wrote it in the simplest, best way. But they're not all of them could actually be as simple in terms of understanding and application thereof. So that's the reason why I actually did the program. But furthermore, I constantly felt that I will help a business owner with the basic understanding of compliance.
Okay.
But their issue sometimes is not compliance, it's cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
Are there issues?
Leave it alone, sister. Leave it alone. Leave cash flow alone. My gosh, we'll be here till midnight.
But they say cash flow is king.
Absolutely.
Cash is king.
Yeah.
Not but cash flow.
Oh, okay. Continue, ma'am.
Cost and pricing. So you see a business is doing well. There's lots of activities, but there's just no profit. And that is purely from cost. Their operational costs are too high. They're not directing their costing to the client.
Yeah.
You know, they're accumulating all this cost under operation. And the other one that really got into me is when they didn't understand the difference between a bookkeeper, the accountant, and an auditor. That one really got me angry.
No,
they think Mundaywan, you know.
No. It's actually interesting what you're saying. But more than anything, I think let's go international. Let's go abroad. I mean, for instance, after the ad break, we'll be having Miss Van Dom, who's a financial expert from the Netherlands. Maybe before we actually have her on the line, let's do this.
At iStore, we love Apple stuff. But we're only human. Sometimes we drop our iPhones on the road, face down, and it makes us sad. That's why we came up with iCare Plus, a nifty little product exclusive to iStore for when stupid things happen to good people with awesome phones. It'll have your beloved iPhone covered for water, screen, and physical damage. So come to iStore. Why would you go anywhere else? Visit myistore.co.za for more info. T's and C's apply.
When it comes to medical treatment, we all hope to make the right choices. But what if you no longer have a choice? Under the new Road Accident Benefit Scheme, you'll have no say when it comes to medical decisions. Not only will they decide what treatment is suitable, but they'll also dictate which practitioners to use. Surely that's not what we choose. This message was brought to you by the Law Society of the Northern Provinces. Go to truthaboutrabs.org and add your voice.
360 Biz on cliffcentral.com.
You are still on 360 Biz on cliffcentral.com. Today we're talking financial management at the core of any business. You are allowed to join in the discussion. Our studio line is 0861-555-189, 0861-555-189. Our Twitter handle is at cliffcentral.com. We're on Facebook as well. Our Facebook page is Cliff Central. We're on WeChat as well. Our WeChat is Cliff Central, and my social media, it's at @DeboHoma40. In studio, I'm joined by Precious Mvulane, the managing director of Jet Consulting, and I'm also joined by Sibulela Sibaka, a young entrepreneur and with an inspirational story, and we're as well joined in by Habida. I did say on the line earlier that I will be joining in studio, or in fact, actually on the line by Judith van Dom from Netherlands. She's a social finance expert at the International Labour Organization. Judith, how are you, ma'am?
Hi, I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
No, good. Thanks. Judith, thank you for your time and thank you for joining us in studio on the line.
Welcome.
No, definitely. Judith, do you want to start by saying hi to the listeners and tell us who you are, what is it that you do?
Yes. Hi, everybody. This is Judith van Doren. I work for the ILO Pretoria office. And I'm the microfinance expert, which means that I'm supporting the government and all organizations on how they can develop policies and also implement programs for microfinance, and also related to that on enterprise development.
And so now tell me, Judith, I mean, being a microfinance expert, I mean, it's one of the things that the discussion we're having today, we're actually having the discussion of finance. What would you say some of the challenges that you've had an encounter with dealing with entrepreneurs and some of the business people across Africa?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So a main challenge is that people do not have access to finance, especially when they are in business mm-hmm. or when they one day want to move into business, often because they don't have a track record yet, and also because financial institutions tend to be very careful and sometimes a bit suspicious, so they are really careful giving out money. Also, people need to often save first before they can get a loan. So you would need people who have a savings culture, who've been building up some savings. And also, the institutions often don't really know what are these entrepreneurs doing, you know, what type of people are they, what are their needs, what are their constraints. Mm-hmm. So there's sometimes a bit of a divide between the people who want to borrow money and the institutions that may be available and existing on paper, but in reality, there's just a gap between them.
Hmm. You're actually raising a very important point to the culture of saving, and it's, I know it's something that we're definitely struggling with a lot in our country. Maybe I think it's something that we definitely need to have a show around and bring you in studio for us to actually discuss it more. So now, I mean, as the International Labour Organization, I mean, what opportunities do you have in South Africa or for South African entrepreneurs?
With respect to entrepreneurs, well, if I look at the financial aspect, you know, it's easy for us to say that people need to save. Mm-hmm. But what goes before that is that people need to really understand how to manage their money. And this is an area where we've been working on strongly at the ILO. We've been developing programs, which we call financial education, where we take people all the way from the beginning to say, what do you want to achieve, you know, if in your business or in your private life? Now, how much money will that cost? And usually there's a gap. So now how can you plan to achieve that? And that relates then slowly into, you know, making decisions about what to spend your money on mm-hmm. and make savings a priority. Because often what we hear is that people say by the end of the month, there's no money left to save. The people who go through the training, they will then say, actually, I'm making savings a priority. So yes. That maybe by the end of the month, there's no money to spend on other things that are maybe not that necessary.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then now, I mean, I've seen that on Friday you have the African Talks on Entrepreneurship Features. I mean, what is that about?
Yes, so that's the event that we're organizing this Thursday, and we are bringing together people who have inspiring talks about entrepreneurship in Africa, because maybe Africa has a certain reputation outside in the world, but in reality, a lot of things are happening on the continent, and also there's many opportunities that can be captured. So there's a lot of innovational technologies, there's innovation hubs, there's young entrepreneurs, so there are opportunities. So we want to be giving inspirational talks so that people seize these opportunities, that they get ideas, not only entrepreneurs themselves, but also policymakers, that they can see, well, how can we take entrepreneurship in the country and on the continent to the next level. So we'll have speakers from South Africa. We'll also have some speakers from abroad. And we bring together a whole range of participants, from entrepreneurs, as I said, to researchers, academics, and policymakers. And that's a one-day event where I hope we'll be leaving the room in a very energized way.
So, I mean, you spoke of African entrepreneurs. So are you saying you're bringing African entrepreneurs from other countries in South Africa, in Pretoria?
We are bringing one speaker, for example, from an innovation hub in Kenya. And this innovation hub is often compared to Silicon Valley. And what we are asking her is, how do you have a model that you can assist entrepreneurs in, let's say, high-tech businesses that have a potential to grow and create jobs? How can you assist them? Because these organizations, like these hubs, they also need to make money. So what business models are they using so that they can assist the entrepreneurs and also make a business out of it themselves so that they can provide these services to many entrepreneurs? And we will also be having entrepreneurs from South Africa and even very young people who have been trained on entrepreneurship skills. So this is also show that, yes, entrepreneurship is not maybe a first resort for many people. Many people like to have a wage job. But to show these models and to show how entrepreneurship training can inspire young people through education, we can maybe create a small shift in people's minds to say, hey, actually, entrepreneurship is a very viable option for me. Let me explore that.
So now, where is this event taking place?
It's taking place on this Thursday, starting at 2. And if you want to register, you can write an email to africantalks@itcilo.org.
Okay. Can you call the domain again?
African Talk.
Mm-hmm.
At ITC.
Okay.
ILO.
Mm-hmm.
.org. This is the International Training Center of the ILO. ITC. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So is this open to everyone, and is it for free?
It's for free, but you need to register. You cannot just come, because we'll be having to close when we have. When the room is full, so you need to send that email.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if people couldn't hear the email, maybe they can get it through your help desk.
Is it? Okay. No, Judith, thanks a lot for that information. It was quite helpful. Looking forward to definitely seeing you on Thursday.
Thank you so much.
No, definitely. That was Judith Van Dom, the financial expert for the International Labour Organization. So maybe before we actually get to Bulelani, she's precious. Tell us about the 3-day finance success seminar that you're hosting.
Okay, we're basically going to be starting from the basic principles of compliance,
okay,
on how to manage. I love what she said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's about taking an entrepreneur and making them to understand what are your goals as a mm-hmm. person that made you to actually be in business. And by the way, that's the same approach I have on my business.
Oh, nice.
So I really like that.
Okay.
Because, I mean, the reason why you start a business is because you want to fulfill your own personal goals.
Yes, that's
so
true.
Yeah. So, and then from that, we then build up and say, what is the appropriate structure
mm-hmm.
that is going to help you?
Mm.
Appropriate being a sole proprietor, partnership, a P2L LTD, or even a limited. We want to list black businesses.
Okay.
So, and then you move on saying that based on that, I'm going to therefore be a director of a company.
Okay.
If I'm going to be a director of the company, what are the requirements of Companies Act?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a whole list of information that we'll be working on together. But also it's about checking up the people that you are inviting.
Mm.
There's certain things that you should be discussing with those people before you put their names.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a clean book of health in relation to credit bureau.
Okay.
Do, you know, there's a whole list, the characteristics. Mm. Have they been in businesses that has liquidated?
Okay.
Because those are the questions you should be
asking. I've been.
But then, which means then you can't be my partner.
What
because
do you mean?
When we do, when I do application for a loan, it does have an impact on the business because they may not give us until you actually have a clean bill of health.
Okay, then let's talk your speakers. I mean, you see, you've got an interesting lineup of speakers, but that excludes Bulelani, of course. So, but we can sort it out.
They left me out of this. Yeah. There's no inspiration with money. Yeah. Money is man.
Okay, that is very funny.
Okay, so who do you have on the lineup?
Okay, so we've got quite a fully packed house. Mm-hmm. We have Billy Selekane. We have DJ Swoo.
Yes.
We have Bridget. Bridget is very good on stress and just self-management, which I really like. Mm-hmm. And we also have Linda Ntuli.
Okay.
We have Swoo, of course.
Hello.
And she mainly going to be speaking as a motivation, but also on just on health, on how to manage yourself as a business owner, which I don't touch. I mean, I don't know anything about self-management.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and then we also have Tim Morris, and that will be all the speakers. And we also have surprise speakers that are coming. That are actually going to be the MC, including yourself, Mister.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Bulelani can fit in there.
Who's basically going to be the MC for the day on Friday. Yeah, it's Friday.
It's Friday.
Yes,
yeah.
It's Friday. So you're going to be the MC. And on Thursday, we're going to have Sia from Alex FM, who hosts the business show in the morning with me at Alex FM.
Okay.
And then we have Mona Lisa, who is a guru on retail and running small township shops and stuff.
No, no, no. You know what? I think let's coordinate this right here. I mean, Sibu, you're on the program.
I'm on the program.
I'm not on the program.
You know,
Bulelani, you need to be on the program, and you need to come give us some you know,
some live music. Yes, would be awesome.
So awesome. Everyone here needs to be on the program. So go. Please, it's all sorted out. Bulelani, thank you for giving me some privacy, my brother.
I had so much fun outside. Like, they're just ladies everywhere here. Is this what entrepreneurship... You know, I never knew, like, 9 years ago, going into
We're
business with
over.
The... Like...
No,
man, but, yeah. I'm more than glad to have given the privacy.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, then tell me. Township entrepreneurs, that's what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a township entrepreneur myself. I'm proud of the township because wherever I go and I give talks, it doesn't matter what the theme is, I always break out and I say this particular line, and you can quote me on this. 40, 50 years ago, Sandton was just a bush. Today is regarded as the richest square mile in Africa. It didn't happen by chance, but a group of gentlemen came together. They partnered up and made it the richest square mile in Africa today. What we then now live for and we consider as opulence, as wealth, as strength and whatever, as black people. Because, and I've seen it over the years, as whenever someone gets a job in the township, I'm actually being judgmental now, but majority of the guys, when they get jobs, like, they would like to work for 3, 4, 5, or 6 months, and their goal is to live in a Sandton. Their goal is to live in a Glenmary. Mm-hmm. Their goal is to live in a, you know, in a suburb somewhere that has been developed by someone else. I see it as being cool or different, but I'm not trying to judge other people. I was just wired in a different way when I was produced.
Mm.
And my thing is that if I'm going to live here, I'm going to live and develop my own thing. So if I'm going to live in Tembisa, I'm going to be proud of it. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build a Sandton lookalike in the township, and way better than that, because I need you to want you guys to understand one
brother,
thing.
Brother,
years ago, listen, years ago, when I come from a township called Tembisa, I'm born and bred, there was a certain segment in Tembisa called the Mkansa section, one of the locations. It was a fully industrialized area with large machines, you know, dry cleaning. They used to manufacture bolts and all this stuff. So when we talk about developing the township, I think that's a wrong narration of the township. We are not guys that are dilapidated and can't think and we need to be developed. No, we actually need to be revitalized, not the government way to a certain element, but from an entrepreneurial way, to then say that we are here to then reignite the flame or the fire that was. Because it's something else. You know, when you're talking about finances and all this stuff, when I drive into Tembisa, when I drive into townships today, because of, and you see, because of the finance, because a lot of guys, when they died,
they died with their businesses and there was no cash to sustain. I know of four or five different petrol stations. Two were engine garages, the one was a Caltex. When the owners died, and actually the one who owned the BP, he didn't even die. While he was alive, he owed tax. He wasn't compliant in so many different ways. The gentleman who ran the BP, the engine garage, when he passed on, it then came out that he owed some of the suppliers so much and so much that he owed this particular individual, and all these things that started coming out the woodwork. And when they looked at the business and the books, when I was talking to someone who's actually closely related to the guys, the business was profitable, but it was just the management. Did he have cars? He had cars all over the place. So when you're talking about the relevance of what you're talking about right now, when it's money in the township, man, we need to know, because I then started business and I was making cash at some point. Not a lot of cash. I was making cash. I remember in 2010, I went through 100,000 in a month, and I don't even know where it went. I know that I was buying watches, I was buying different things, because I grew up with a single mother and there was no money.
My timepiece.
Hey, come on, watch. My
we are all guilty of some of this.
Okay, yeah.
But the funny thing now is, as you grow in business, and I like what you said back outside there, I was telling the lady I was sitting with outside, good, you touched on something important when you spoke about systems and processes. You see, we can teach my fellow entrepreneurs, my brothers and sisters, systems and processes. I don't hate Pick and Pay. I don't hate ShopRite. I don't think they've got a place in the township, though. I grew up in such a way, in such a place, that back in the day, Wap Gumede Super Spa was the biggest. I grew up in a place where Mam Dlamini's shop was not just a small onion or shop, a tuck shop. But what we consider tuck shop was, man, square feet and square feet of business and groceries and all that stuff.
But then what do you say to when you have okay, that to me is like why we stay township.
You
need to move with the times, and being an artist,
I
was emotional about my music. I'm like, no, I am not going to the bubblegum stuff, but then I don't get airplay. I don't get I don't get. But the way you can work it is that you morphosize like everybody else. I was listening to this book and it said, think like you think but act like everybody else. And then in what happens then is you stay a player in the game, but you're playing your own game in essence.
That's true.
Somehow.
That's true. You know the angle or the element that I'm talking about is that if there was, you see, whatever chambers that we had in the township to then help and assist these businesses, whenever a giant wants to come in and play on our field, there needs to be incorporation with the guys that are already in the field. So that these guys are able to be pulled up to that level. Because the level back then was their level. Now the level now is this other level. These guys can then come in and wow these guys and then pull them out of business. Now we need to wow everybody together. I talk a lot. I'm sorry.
No, you are allowed to talk.
I just really love what you've just said. It's not so much about what I can take. It's how much I can bring to pull other people up.
Yeah.
It's not about employment. It's about empowering people to be self-sustained.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask you something powerful, something amazing. Am I now going to be part of the program?
I think he's proved his worth.
You are hired. My CV just unraveled.
You're not going to get paid though.
Before your eyes.
I must tell you, you're not going to get paid though.
It goes back to the thing we were talking about earlier.
Okay, but what, Habida, you seem traumatized. What's wrong, man?
We're not being paid. That's our life. As an artist, that's our life. Yeah. Oh, can you? We don't know you yet. Come sing for free.
It's some, if okay, you sample. If you didn't see value, sample.
Why am I there in the first place?
So can I get something out of the way? One thing that I always say that I've realized is that people are, I mean, big FMCG companies know the value of sampling themselves. Right. Spending millions on sampling, on samples.
Yeah.
So the next thing, you want to take somebody from the township, you want to make a difference in their lives, you want to change their life. Mm-hmm. First question they're going to ask you is that, how much are you going to pay me? Whereas they've not sampled their work. They've not crafted, they've not mastered what they're good at.
There are 10,000 hours that they're supposed to put in.
Yes. So I'm not going to sit here and entertain the issue of money. Where else, Budanan, you know very well that we've sampled ourselves, dude. You know?
Definitely.
I think it's a fine balance, though. I think it's a fine balance between sampling yourself and introducing yourself to the market. This is who I am. This is what I can do. Versus at some point, it's got to, your passion has got to turn to profit. So you've gotta be able to go, okay, you know what? I'll do this one for Sis Precious, because actually, when I'm there, I might learn a thing or two about my business. So in fact, this is a bit of a trade exchange, you know? But I really get annoyed when people say, they know you're worth 25,000 rand to speak for an hour, but they want to offer you 5,000.
Because they're also used about to my it. Talent? You see, this is the thing with sampling.
Because somebody else takes it.
That, and also we've made people accustomed. It's become a habit.
Right.
But you took 5,000 last time. Okay. But no, that was a sample.
Yeah.
No. You know what?
Was talking. Yeah. I was trying to show you.
I think maybe I fear we need to, as we're coming into December time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Me and my boy Bulelana, we bring a whole new excitement this December. So okay, I think maybe let's have a show around that. You know, let's have a show.
That'd be
around
cool, actually.
Yes.
How to monetize?
Yes. How to monetize really your talent?
People don't know how to monetize.
Yeah. No. Definitely. So then, guys, we know we're actually running out of time. We need to close the show. We always try by all means to close off the show in style. So then from there, starting from you, woman, can we have a 30 seconds closing words of inspiration to someone that's listening out there?
I think what I would say is how I've lived my life is that anytime you fall, you need to get back up. It doesn't matter how many times you fall, it's about how many times you get back up. And then to remember that anybody who you see as being a success has fallen a million times before. You just didn't see that part. And then this is part of my campaign. Maybe you have me speak on your show. Is called Superwoman, and what it's about is having mentorship. I had a mentor, Oprah. She just didn't know it. You know, I just watched everything about what she did. You know, she's been through everything, or I've been through everything she's been through, and I researched who she is. So that's what I would say, is to research who you want to be as well, and don't expect it to come yesterday.
No, that's a woman. She's speaking 12,000 words now. I said 30 seconds, she's going on. Siva.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
All of us want to change our current circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
We have personal goals and objectives as to why we're going to business. And your dream has got to be so big, it's got to scare you and the ones around you.
Okay.
If it doesn't scare you, then you're not dreaming big enough.
Hmm.
I dreamt so big that I to fail was not even an option, because it meant I was going to go hungry at night.
Mm.
So if nothing drives you towards your business, then don't go into business at all. You're going to fail many times. Find your sources of encouragement. Play around and stick around people who have the same vision as you, because if you don't, people are going to drag you down in the typical pull him down syndrome and pull it down syndrome. For me, the biggest thing is educate yourself, keep your head down, and make your money.
Okay. Precious, 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Oh, my goodness.
Quick.
I think for me, for any entrepreneur that is out there, there is no way you can achieve find a business that is successful if you not empower yourself with financial literacy. In addition to that, it is possible for you to learn it. I know some of you are scared of maths, are scared of anything relating to money, because of how we have been taught and how we grew up and how we see and view money. But it's possible. It's about taking little step and action. Use the knowledge and action it.
Okay. Then where can people get more information about
the
event?
They can get the information on financesuccess.co.za, and they can sign up. It's very cheap. It's 250 for heaven's sake per month. So you see, it's exactly what we were saying about non-payment.
Okay. Bulelani, 30 seconds.
Oh, wow. I'm going to try to keep it within 30, but one of my title talks is the turn up. The turn up has changed. I always tell a lot of guys, that especially entrepreneurs, that the turn up has changed. Turn up broken down is the true understanding regarding net worth. The turn up is no longer showing up to the club with bottles of Moët. The turn up is no longer buying cars on installments that we're going to struggle to pay for.
Mm.
The turn up is no longer running to the bank to get finance and funding to fund that business idea. But the turn up changed. The turn up is the understanding of financial management. The turn up is hanging out with people like your Tebogo Mafodis. The turn up is showing up and helping out young young girls and young guys in the townships and helping out people all over South Africa. So in short, the turn up is having money in your account. The turn up is having budgets and savings. The turn up is having finance savvy understanding.
Boom.
Too many people spend money they haven't earned to buy things they don't want, to impress people they don't like. Spend that money wisely. Invest more than anything. Save. There is still a tomorrow. If you don't have it today, doesn't mean it's the end of the world. You can still have it tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, this is all that we had for you today. It catches again next time on 360 Biz here on Cliff Central with my boy, Bulelani. Same time at 3 p.m. Ladies, definitely thanks a lot for joining us in studio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good, thanks. This is all that we had for you. We out.
This is CliffCentral.com.